FM.news.
I once heard him say, scary steps lead to death or success. We are chatting with the owner of Mattress World Northwest, my friend Sean Hathaway. The FAM podcast starts right now. Hey, are you a mattress retailer looking to supercharge your business? Introducing Podium, your secret weapon. I use it, I'm a huge fan of it, and with Podium's AI-powered lead conversion, you can engage with customers in seconds via text, making it feel like they're talking to a friend. But hey, that's just the beginning. Podium offers texting, payments, reviews, website chat, and more all in one place. You've got to be the most responsive retailer to help customers solve those sleep problems in the moment. Harness the power of Podium today and start growing your business. Visit podium.com right now to learn more.
Welcome to the FAM podcast with Mark Kinsley. This is where the best in the bedding business get even better.
Hey, Sean, welcome to the FAM podcast. I remember the first time I ever saw you. It was before I knew you. You were up on stage at an industry event winning a Giants of Bedding award. And your acceptance speech was really, really good. What? Now, there's a lot to unpack that probably led to that moment and this moment. But first of all, welcome to the show. For people who don't know you, tell us about Sean Hathaway.
Okay. Well, boy, you just jammed a lot into like two sentences. But let me, you know, we had talked earlier, what would be on a podcast, you know, business development, creating a good business. And Mark, I have the answer. If an owner or a salesperson can present themselves like you with a smile, totally engaging and tell great stories and listen to people, that's a home run in a bottle. So whatever you're doing on your podcast, the way you greet people, the way I met you and the vibe I got off of you, if we can duplicate that vibe, home run.
And I bet you have some people that do that, right? I mean, you've got 24 stores and you got a few people out there that are like vibing with people, smiling, welcoming them in, you know, that transfer of enthusiasm. I love hearing about that.
Yeah. And we can talk about that. Your original statement was we were in Florida and we got that award. And what did I say? I don't know. I probably blacked out on stage because it was the first time I was in front of a couple hundred people. I was stressed out to the max. And I'm glad it sounded coherent to me. It was like, am I done yet?
Get me off stage, bring out the hook and pull me with the candy cane, please, at this moment. Well, it was really well done. And you acknowledged your team and the people that have helped you along the way that have led to Mattress World Northwest having 24 stores. And we're going to talk here in a minute about what the future plans are. But tell us, I mean, if we were going to put you on like an episode of How I Built This, how did you get to this point where you are? Because it's a big operation.
Yeah, it's a big operation. And I was blessed to kind of step in and take over a business that had 8 or 9 locations, but they weren't running really smoothly. And we've built it to 24 now. And along the way, I think basically you have to have a plan that you can execute. And it really has to be better than a napkin plan. There's some people that we all know that are taking place in your M3. There's other ways to build a strategic plan, but it has to be really nailed down and focused and have the details built in. And then you need a group of people, or depending on the size of your business, you need somebody or a team to help you execute that plan. So then you have to go over that plan in real detail and explain stuff over and over so everybody kind of sees your vision. I think a mistake I make all the time is I'm like, hey, we're going to do it this way. We're going to do it just like that. Let's just go do it 1, 2, 3. And people hear 1, 2, 3 and they convert it to 3, 2, 1, 2, 1, 3. We have a joke in our company, pass me the blue cup and they immediately hand you a green cup. So I have someone that constantly jokes with me, blue cup or green cup, Sean. And there, you can have miscommunication in 5 seconds. So when you're going to build a whole company, don't let details go undescribed or vetted out.
I can't tell you how many times like I've been guilty of that myself. I'll have a vision in my head and I'll be moving fast and I'll say, hey, go get this done, and I haven't properly onboarded that person or given them the inputs they need to actually go be successful, or maybe it's wrong person, wrong job. I may have given somebody something that doesn't have the skills to achieve that. Do you have some stories or moments along the way that you're like, yeah, that happened?
I mean, when we were first building our team, our story was the company had been kind of squandering around for so many years that people had developed bad habits and they kind of did stuff our way, or here's how we've always done it, or the changes that you're bringing in, you're going to wreck the company or destroy it. We've never done it that way. And you absolutely have to convert those people to your way. So our problem was, is we wanted to have a fist fight about every single thing. We did not want to listen to anybody. If somebody was talking, the rest of the group was constantly ignoring them and loading their response of how they were going to cut you down to size as soon as you quit talking, if we even let you quit talking. So our company was back to basics. I had exhaustive conversations with people that went like this. Here's how you listen to somebody. Stop. That's not listening. That's talking. And then when they begin to talk, they would have to ask a basic question. Did you listen to what that guy said? Or were you just planning your rebuttal the whole time? So active listening means repeat what that guy said. And I think that, you know, in the political climate today, I think that just cuts through everything that we do and say from when we get up in the morning. Did we listen to what those people were saying? And did we let it turn around in here for a little bit? And then did we give a thoughtful, like, really explain to me more why you think that way? Because I 100% disagree, but I probably am not understanding what you're saying. Fill me in. Tell me a little bit more. If you can get to that level with your spouse, your friends, your neighbors, and your employees, then you've got something.
This really sings to my soul, because I spent my entire college career in communication school. So I had a bachelor's degree, master's degree in communication. And I remember getting into it because I thought, well, if I get into business, I keep reading, that's the number one skill you need. So maybe I can do that. I wasn't necessarily hammering away on a 10 key in spreadsheets, but I was like, this seems to be pretty useful. And what you're talking about, I had somebody one time hear me on the phone speaking to get a takeout order. And I said to the gal on the other end of the line, I said, after I was finished with my order, I said, hey, can you say it back to me? I want to make sure I got it right. And my friend thought that was so funny. He's like, that's a great way of putting it. Not like, hey, say it back to me so you don't screw it up. I was like, hey, say it back to me because I want to make sure I got it right. Because otherwise my wife's going to be eating a salmon salad instead of shrimp salad. But that it is such a, paraphrasing back what you hear to make sure that you're understanding it and the other person said it the right way. It goes a long way in everyday life.
Yeah, you instantly come to the realization that you did not repeat back what that guy said at all. You repeated what you heard, and what you heard was what you wanted to hear. But back to the drive-through. Years ago, we've got a family joke. I kept complaining to my wife, every time I order a side water at a drive-thru, they have fits with it. And they're like, Sean, it's your problem. You are doing it all wrong. You know how you are with people. You're too abrupt. So we're all out for this big family get together. We're going to go to McDonald's. My son loves McDonald's. We get to the drive-thru. And I said, we want a side water. And I'm blowing the story. Anyway, my family agreed that I ordered my water correctly. I wanted a side water, not a bottled water for $5. We got to the window. Here's your 5 side waters. And my car just burst into laughter. They're just like, oh my gosh, okay. We understand now.
So it's funny you say that, because you were talking about communication and not being on the same page. I've never heard it called a side water.
Well, I didn't know how to explain it. Tap water. Yes. A water on the side. Please don't charge me $4 for a water.
I don't want a $4 water. I don't want a smart water. I don't want a bottle. I want a side water. I want to put it in a cup with tap. tap out of the tap water.
I want to taste the chlorine and be disgusted.
We're talking with Sean Hathaway, the owner of Mattress World Northwest. And Sean, talk about you alluded to this about having a plan and working your plan. I'm curious because sometimes people put a plan together and maybe they have like that crisp 4K high definition vision. And then you start executing on the plan. And it's like Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
Along the way, when you do get punched in the mouth, do you modify that plan? Like, how do you react whenever things may not be going the way that you anticipated them? Is like plow through and have grit or change courses? How do you think about that?
Well, can we make the assumption that it's a good plan and that it's been vetted? So when we come up with a plan nowadays, we have access to M3, your organization. We have access to reps that travel. We've become friends with other businesses. So when we execute or write up a plan, we're trying to include best practices that we've vetted and watched and maybe even traveled and seen somebody put this into practice and they're doing well. Their customers are happy. They're increasing their net profit and their margin, and folks are enjoying the experience at their store. So if we can assume it's a good plan, then you're just executing incorrectly. And so in the beginning, you want to go back and you want to be able to have those frank conversations again. And as an owner, you want to be able to drop your guard because people are going to come at you like, well, this is a bad plan. This is your problem. You made us do that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I did. And let's pivot, because in our organization, I would tell everybody in the very beginning, there's no wrong answers when you take initiative and do something. There may be a wrong result, but I'm not going to yell or scream or get mad. No one's on the firing line, but we do need to examine the reason you made that decision, what the outcome was, and did it follow our plan and the way we had decided to execute it? So you may need to change the way you did that. And so you, in the very beginning, you don't want to execute too many plans. So you might have, I have 10 things I want to do this year. Three of them are super, super important and critical to our business. And one we should start working on today. And let's see if we can get this one right. Let's see, Mark, if you and I can actually communicate together and go execute this one small plan. And if we can do that, let's expand on that. And then let's move to number two. And let's try to do it quickly.
And I would say, if you and I are in that car together, Sean, we're going to go back through the driveway and we're going to try to order that side water a different way and keep going through that drive through and get that small win under our belts until they give us a single side water.
Yeah. And you had the brilliant thing. Hey, could you repeat back what I said? I want to make sure I said my order correctly. Right. So I think a lot of times as a owner or a boss or someone who's, I mean, we wake up every day and we think that everything we think is awesome and perfect. And of course, we're wrong 99% of the time. Most of our ideas suck, but we believe they're awesome. So you have to be able to go in and say, hey, here's where I want to go. What do you think about that idea? You guys have the boots on the ground and you want to try not to, we're doing this, shut up, start doing it right now. You're very tempted to do that. And sometimes it's warranted in a situation, but generally it's like never warranted. You kind of want to vet your idea with the people that you're asking to execute and then hear their responses, why they think it's not going to work. And they're going to have a million of them. And then you just have to explain the new direction. And then I think you have to explain, hey, obviously there's going to be a benefit for me or I wouldn't be here pitching my idea. We've got to set that aside. The second thing that's important, there's going to be a benefit for this company. You got to set that aside because that's not important. I think there's a benefit to you. If we change the way we treat our customers or if we, goodness gracious.
You good?
Mark, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. What happened?
I don't know where to find you. If we treat that employee, like we're helping them make more money and make their job easier, then they can start to listen. There we go.
It's like selling to customers even. You got to get it all the way down to that consumer level. Like when it's time to buy a mattress, yeah, we can do all the spec speak and we can talk about all these great things, but does that matter to the customer? Does it? What's in it for me?
What's in it for me? And you just can't always come at everybody, what's in it for me and my company, because that's just the tried and true approach that everybody takes. But if you want to build something and build a great company, then a great company is going to support the people that are there every day doing it. So we have to really make sure they understand how it really supports them in the end. And then again, that opens up the line of communication, and then all of a sudden they're able to hear you.
What's Sean, let's run it to ground and get really vivid and specific.
Okay.
You know, your 24 stores, whenever you started out, you had 8 or 9 and you've grown it to this point. What are some of the things that you concentrate on right now? Maybe some of those great ideas that you have to go and vet in front of the team. You know, maybe it was something that you were looking at for 2024, some of your initiatives and how you grow and where you go from here. What are some of those specific things that you bring to your team or you're working on this year?
So I try not to be the person that brings things to our team. So when I feel like there's a important events like our nationwide buying group and M3 opportunity or a good speaker, I would want my top 3 or 4 people to be with me. And because if you go alone to an event and come back with a great idea, I actually had one of my employees once like, every time you come back from one of these events, you've got a great idea and you want everybody to do this great idea and blah, 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 right? And so they are not bought in. And I remember that when I was working for people, they would go to market or the rep would come in and they'd have a closed door session. And then they'd come out and tell me the new sofas and the new fabrics that I was going to be selling to the customers. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm greeting 100% of the customers that come through your store, but you're excluding me from all your buying decisions. So that crappy color that you just picked that I heard 5 people say they hated, you just bought 5 of those. You should have just asked me. So can you rephrase that question? Because I got off on a tangent, but I think it was really important.
Yeah, no, it is like that alignment you're talking about is so critical. And I can't tell you, like, even, you know, we're right in the middle of Dream Camp as this is happening, as this is airing. And I had people call me ahead of time that wanted to be part of Dream Camp. And they were mentioning, hey, I'm thinking about bringing my GM or my son who's running one of our stores that wants to open a franchise. And it was people on the executive teams. And I said, I typically encourage groups of people to come and be a part of it together, because when you come back with a great idea and you're ignited to transfer that to people that weren't a part of that and didn't have that transformational experience, is very difficult to experience it together and to be able to trade ideas and refine them and then put them into action. So much more efficient, I guess you could say. But going back to my original question, it was more around like, what are you working on this year? So what are you working on with your team? What are you getting aligned around?
Great. Yeah. 2024. So our main targets are to raise our average selling price. And so the very first thing we're doing is going back to November, instead of just doing a review of our company like we do every year in person, we started retraining. The first part of the process was greeting a customer into a store. So that first minute or two. And then what was the first type of mattress that we were going to show our customer? So we're doing technology selling. We've broken it up into the different technologies. And then we've picked, you know, the absolute very best. And when I say most expensive, what that means, it's the best mattress. It's got the best mattress, the best base, all the best features, everything, and the kitchen sink that might appeal to a customer. So we're going to acknowledge that, we're going to treat you with respect. We're not going to look at the car you drove in or the shoes or the slacks you wore or the gait of your walk and decide, hey, you know what? That person's about $1,800. I'm going to kind of go over here and we're going to work it that way. We're every person we are going to assume is a premium shopper. And again, that's in their heads. That's the salesperson on the floor deciding something that they have no right to decide for the customer, because the customer will always tell you exactly where they're at. Second, if we've got people that year after year, month after month, don't want to follow that process, again, it's a proven process, right? We've vetted it, we've seen it in action, so we're just going to make the assumption it's a good idea. That's why we're going to change it. And they're saying, I don't want to do that, then we're going to give them individual training. And then my pet peeve is we don't let people exit the company fast enough. We come up with dozens and dozens of reasons not to let somebody go. And just like anything, it's always just because you're scared. And you can't run a business and be scared. And what I try to tell everybody is that we need to be respectful to people we do business with, whether it's our manufacturer or our customer or our employees or ourselves, our own company. If you keep somebody on board who doesn't follow the process, is an underperformer, then you're disrespecting your company and the face you put towards the public. Because when people walk a lot, that's a bad impression. What they're telling you is like, we like that other company better. Your company didn't satisfy our needs. That's disrespectful to your company to keep somebody on board like that. Now, to whisper and transfer them around and try to put them in positions that's awkward to force them to quit, that's disrespectful to them. So what's respectful? Direct conversations where you're listening. Hey, we tried to work with you. Here's where we're headed. You've in clear language told us your customers don't do that. Your neighborhood doesn't do that. Your store's in the wrong area. You're uncomfortable. Awesome. It's not a good fit. We're going to help you find a place that's a perfect fit for you. I'm going to be less tense when I come in and see you. You're going to be less tense when your new boss comes in and see you, because hopefully you'll find a place where you're like, this is where I need to be. So I want my team to make hard decisions, and it's hard for us and them to do that, but we're making baby steps.
Such a big theme over the past 6 months in the Mattress Mentorship Mastermind group that we've been a part of was team. And so many people, especially early on, were highlighting some of these issues they were having with employees or store managers or rockstar salespeople that were culturally toxic. And invariably, there were a lot of people that went back to their respective businesses and were able to make those changes. And like you talked about, respecting their business and themselves and the rest of the employees by getting rid of somebody who wasn't a fit, and then coming back and meeting back up with the group absolutely relieved and reporting stories about sales lifts that they thought were impossible because that person was such a linchpin to the business. Have you been giving advice behind the scenes to everybody? Like, hey, nudge this along.
I don't think I have had any hand in that other than because I think everybody I've met in your group, in our group, M3, they said that, and I'm like, I'm with you. I agree. But they had the idea. I think people intuitively that are running a good business know what they need to do. We are just afraid to do it.
You were talking about fear. The very first thing I said as we started the podcast today was somebody I know said scary steps lead to death or success. Sean Hathaway, ladies and gentlemen, trademarked.
Yeah. Well, you always have to be moving forward, and it can be off a cliff, or you can be following a great plan and just taking the escalator straight up, but you got to take the step. So I think death is a little overrated. You just acknowledge your bad decision and go find another step.
So throughout the years, as you've built Mattress World Northwest, what are some of the scariest steps you took?
Well, I think I'm always scared when we open a new store because you're committing to the expenses. You're committing to moving some people around. Hopefully you found new people to bring in the company so you can transfer the right personality to a new store. The right personality is going to take every darn deal, because sales lead to referrals, low margin sales lead to referrals. You are just trying to create a customer base. You're getting Google reviews. You're going to chamber meetings. So that's scary for me. I just think having hard conversations with people in your company can be scary for me. But I think every time I've had them, there's an escalation point, and then there's a de-escalation point, and then there's a realization in there that, you know, what I may have started asking or requesting of the person was a little extreme. And I think then that other person will come back around and realize that their position was a little extreme. And then you get a meeting of the minds, and you're able to move forward together and execute that plan. And I have to realize that even though we're all executing the same plan, people, different personalities do it different ways. They add their flair, and you just cannot step on their flair. You know, you have to let them, like we say in our business, you know, kind of peacock or their way around, show their feathers and do it their way.
Peacock your way around. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Strut your stuff.
Right.
That is so true though. Like, hey, it's all like, I've called it commander's intent. Like, hey, there's the top of the mountain. We know where we're going. How you get there, you know, if you want to do it with some flair and flavor, if you want to wear a fancy hat to go to the top of the mountain, that's your prerogative. Go, you know where we're going. Get up there.
Yep. Yeah. And so I think for the future, I think things that kind of scare me when you have a good plan is just variables that you can't control, like the economy and where you live and what might be happening in your area that drives sales or decreases sales. I think people a lot of times are, you can't make that decision, or look what they're doing over there, or have you heard about these people? And yeah, I have. And we have a plan. We vetted our plan. It's really good. We're going to stick to our plan, and we're going to just grow. So I think one of the best things that I've ever done, or just constantly do, is there's no shortage of advice, and you do want to heed people's advice. But once you've taken it, formulated a plan, then you need to stick to your plan, and what other people do around you is just really of no consequence to you, because you need to focus on what you're doing. You just can't worry about the other person.
That focus piece is so huge. You know, if you get absolutely focused on your goals and everybody's rowing in the same direction, you can dominate. You can absolutely dominate.
Yeah, absolutely. Because some of the excuses we come up with is, if we let this person go, they're going to get a job right down the street. They're going to say all the stuff, and all that stuff they do kind of good here, they're going to do down there. And I always just say, you know what? They are free to go do what they want to do. If we execute the best way we can, and the reason we're asking this person to move on is I think we can do it better, then I'm not afraid of anything. I think we can execute better. And that's why we're making this change. And the new person we're going to bring on, you know, Mark, between you and me, if we do our job correctly, will be better than what that person goes down and continues doing what they were doing here. So we don't need to be worried or be scared. We're going to be just fine if you and I make a pact to bring the new person in and train them the way we know they need to be trained. So, hey, let's just get to it and don't worry about that.
And that's the beautiful thing about a culture of execution and that collaboration is you could hand your playbook over to a competitor, and if they're going to try to play your game, you're going to be better at it than them. Probably. I mean, you should be if it's your game.
Yeah.
And then you're going to, you know, they're going to execute it completely differently or not at all. And that's just, I think people, you know, they kind of get hung up on this idea that if they know what we're doing, they're going to be able to steal it from us. I just don't agree with that mentality most of the time.
It is a tried and true old wives' tale mentality, I think, because like I get coached up before these podcasts. Okay, Tell them all the stuff, but don't give them the detail of your 2024 plan. Don't tell them how we're doing this and don't tell them how we're doing that. And I just roll my eyes. And then also inside the company, you know, if you pay a bonus every time someone gets a Google review, you know, that could be like $10,000 at the end of the month. I was like, okay, A, no one's going to, everybody in the company's not going to get a Google review because I have 3 years of evidence that no matter how much I pay, they don't do it. So that's a fake argument. And B, if I can't get a one person in my company to follow our new process, going on a podcast and having it fall on somebody's ears out there in the world of mattresses, you think they're going to copy me and actually do it? Because I sat here with my gray hair and glasses? No. No. And I love the podcast. I hope people do get energized and follow. But of all these people listening, a few people are going to be like, I got my own plan. That won't work in my neighborhood. You don't understand the people that live here in this part of the country. Actually, I bet I do.
Well, we started out talking about being scared, you know, what you're scared of. And this is kind of feeding right into the idea that people are scared to share their plans or let it out into the wild because somebody might steal it. I love that you started off by mentioning that you're a bit scared whenever you open a new store. I think most people are. And yet you're right in the middle of doing that. Walk us through the new store and what's happening and why you're continuing to grow in this way. You're seeking out more growth.
Seeking out more growth. Well, as a CEO who's 61 and I have plans to do other things, I can't throttle the business because you can't acquire and keep the talent you have if you let them know, hey, you know what? I'm older than you. I'm done growing. I don't want to battle people every single day and do all this stuff that it takes to grow from 8 to 24. Where's the excitement for them? Where's their growth? When are they going to show their peacock feathers and pound their chest and say, I added 4 stores. I took Mattress World to 24 to 28. No one's excited about, hey, the owner's plan is just to stay where we're at forever. And we have growth opportunities. So in the area where we're at, there are areas that, you know, we go walk them. There's clearly sales going on in that area. It's clear that we can compete. And so, you know, we've identified areas that are underserved by the mattress manufacturers in general or retailers, or for sure our style that we think is the best. So we're going to look at those for those reasons. And then we're going to walk the area. And we're going to look for the telltale signs that we think it's a great area. Are there those businesses that we see where we're always successful? Is there that brand name grocery store? Is there that brand name tire store? We don't have money to do exhaustive research, and we're not that smart to run through all those statistics. But I know these multinational and national companies, they do. And if I see them there, I feel they've probably done the research. So they don't open up stores in those areas to go broke. They open up stores in those areas to meet emerging markets. And so then you're going to ask agents and you're going to find out, is this area actually growing? And all these statistics are easy available. And then I think what's critical is you're going to find an expert to help you negotiate that lease. As me, just speaking personally for myself, I'm the guy that's like, is that your best deal? Oh yeah, that's our best deal. Okay, well, then just let me sign it. Okay, that's a horrible way to do business. I can get along with people. I can brainstorm great ideas. Don't let me sign a contract. Don't let me look at the details. I'm an idiot. So I do have a business consultant that does the dirty work of grinding people down. And we've actually come into a great good cop, bad cop scenario where he goes in there and grinds on our landlords, and I sit next to him and I'll tap him and shut him down for a little bit and explain to him how, Mark, you know, you and I have been partners for 15 years and you don't consultant understand how we got started and the stuff we've struggled through with the graffiti and And with COVID and that fire that took place, and then, you know, that other big store moving out and the mall died, we've been fighting this fight forever. So you just can't come in here and, you know, browbeat them for lower rent. As I'm tapping them under the table, browbeat them for lower rent, you know, so we're just playing that. And when we do that, when we go in to negotiate, it's my job to explain how we're going to benefit the community, how we do long-term leases, how we form partnerships, how we don't get up in the middle of the night and leave. We're part of the community. Once we shake hands, we intend to be in a location forever if we can come to an agreement. That guy's just going to make sure that forever is affordable. So, and we do it respectfully, but if the rent doesn't fit, then, you know, you've got to walk away from a deal.
I bet you see, if you're talking to other dealers around the country, I bet you see people sign bad leases often.
I would say all the time. It's very scary when you hear people talk about opening new stores and they're dreaming big and they're selling you on their big idea and, you know, what they're going to do and how they're going to be different. But then when you ask, like, oh yeah, where are you moving into? What's the lease like? And then I get scared and I feel chills.
There's one thing that war stories behind the scenes. Constant
in business. On the first of every month, you owe people.
It's coming your way, like it or not.
Yep. And no one owes you the respect of walking into your store, but you do owe people rent and utilities.
I'm going to put my signature DRU, my double red underline.
Okay.
Below that concept. If you're going to open up a new store, if you're going to sign a lease, find somebody who's an expert to help you go through those details, understand the best practices, understand what you can ask for, what you can't ask for, and really do your due diligence on the front end, because the odds are really good that you are not an expert at lease negotiation and it could come back to bite you. Double red underline on that one. I want to go back to something else too that you said that I think is so critical as people think about their success and their future and where they're taking their businesses. You said, hey, I'm 61 years old. Yeah, I may have some other plans in the future, but I still want to grow, because if I'm not providing a path forward and showing the energy of the direction that we can go, my team's not going to be excited by that. What's your advice to people that are maybe in similar situations that are scared to continue making those moves and maybe need to show people that there is a path forward?
Wow. Well, I mean, the easy answer is to stop being scared and do it, or be scared and do it anyway. But I think what I think that I've noticed is coming up through the business world and working for small businesses is the tendency to not trust and to not delegate responsibility, or to delegate responsibility and then come back with a hammer and express how when that was delegated, you did it all wrong. You do want to delegate responsibility and you want to make it really clear. So we've kind of discussed that up front of what that would look like. And you would want to do that with that person so they understand. So you're doing it together, right? Taking baby steps. And then you have to have trust. I think one thing that I have done very right is trusted people and gotten to know them and seeing what their strengths and weaknesses are. But when they've made a decision, not to countermand the decision or not to come at them and tell them it was a bad decision, because we all make bad decisions. We all make mistakes. I'm going to lead with, like, dude, I have wasted more money and lost more stuff than any of you combined. So, all right, I'm going to pat you on the back. You did make a stupid decision. It cost me some money, but we've got more where that came from. Let's not do that one again. Do you see where we went sideways? But you have to build people up. So you have to constantly bring people up one notch at a time, delegate more responsibility, ask them to learn skills that they haven't learned before, train them and understand they're different from you. But then at some point, in some small way, I'm speaking metaphorically, you need to toss them the keys. You know, not pull out, not full hog, but you do have to toss them the keys or throw them in the deep end, and they need to take responsibility. And that's how you learn, and that's how you work your way out of hundreds of daily responsibilities every day, that after you've been doing it for 20, 25, 30, 35 years, that grind gets to you. They want that grind. They're younger. I mean, they've got a drive that you're in different positions in life. They want that grind. They want to drive. They want to prove themselves. You know, they want to show the world how awesome they are. And you have kind of done it in a way. And it's your obligation to let those people drive the car and monitor where they're driving.
And you can sit shotgun for a while, and then eventually you're not sitting shotgun.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's always follow-up conversations. But I can just say for a fact that when I get out of my own way and let people do what they're better than me at doing, everything turns out better. And it hurts my pride. Flat out. Hurts my pride every single time. I used to do that. I was the one that went out to lunch and made all those decisions. But quite frankly, that guy's done it better. I mean, what do you say? Let the better person do it.
Well, and hey, pat yourself on the back, Sean, knowing that you built that person up and you developed them. There you go. You developed them in a way that they're able to sit down at lunch and make those decisions and feel empowered to do it. Because I think a lot of people out there, whenever they're in, you know, small to mid-sized businesses, they feel like there's one king to crown or one throat to choke, and they're not empowered. So I think that's a testament to you. And I've seen your team, especially Ryan and Brendan, and there are many others back at the ranch that are empowered and are making decisions. I've seen how you communicate with your team with great clarity and honesty, so that everybody's trying to get to the main point and make stuff happen. That's a culture thing, and that doesn't happen overnight, and that comes from the top.
Yeah. And I think that when I first met you, or when I meet people nowadays, I kind of stick out as that guy that's got 24 stores and his managers do all this stuff, because that's where I am today. And if you go back 13 years, it was a daily grind from morning to night, trying to find the right person, constantly working on communication skills. I mean, you know, literally in a room with grown men and women saying, please shut up. I need you to learn how to listen. I was there for that, and now I'm here for this. And so sometimes I'm a bit embarrassed, because my friends are like, oh my God, 24 stores. You must be working 24/7. You're exhausted. I'm like, oh no, I'm actually kind of refreshed now that we're that big, because Ryan and Brendan handle all that stuff over there.
It gives you time to play with your swing band. You play trombone, and you've played in that band for 28 years. Right?
Yeah. It's awesome playing music. It's the best thing is when you can fill a dance hall with dancers and they're just swinging and having a great time. Your playing goes better, and it's just a good time had by all. You can't make any money at it,
though. And you can't make any money. You can't, but lots of fun. How many people are in the band?
It's like a 18-piece swing band, so tons of trumpets and trombones and horns and guitar and a bass and piano and a singer. Yep. Well, we go play these small venues, and because we are called the Pranksters Big Band, and we get to these places and they cram us in a little corner. And if they're older, they have hearing aids, so that is not a match made in heaven. And that we play the very first song, and they always walk over and they say, "You guys are a big band." Yes, it's in our name. And you're loud. There's 18 of us.
Literally.
But when you get the right arena and the right dance folks, it's awesome.
Can we hear any of the music? Do you have YouTube videos? Can we hear it online anywhere?
Yeah. So it's Pranksters. So Pranksters as the Merry Fool. But our leader 28 years ago, his name was Prang. So Pranksters. And we have a Facebook page, and there's probably some music there.
And one of the things I love is not only that you play with a band, you're part of a community, you invest in that. You're also trying to get better. Even after playing this many years, you're taking lessons again.
You know, right? In all aspects of your life, I think there's peaks and valleys. And I realized, and maybe it was just COVID or maybe it was just me, but I was in a valley. So I need to be a better leader. I joined M3. I need to be a better trombone player. If I want to be a leader in my group, I need lessons. I need to read more books. I need to be a better dad, even though my kids are out of the house. So I think we all struggle with stuff we need to be better at every single day. And I know I'm sounding like I'm this warm-hearted guy, but I fail in all those categories a couple times a day.
Don't we all? Don't we all? And sometimes it's private failures and sometimes it's private victories too.
But I'll go back to you, Mark. You and your wife make such a tremendous team. I love the way you interact and at least on the outside looking in, the way you guys divide and conquer and work an audience, you from the front, your wife from the back, making everybody feel welcomed and, you know, party pumping and taking care of nitty gritty details and you being prepared and going up and teaching me about ChatGPT or whatever that I used just the other day. And it saved me hours of time writing these letters that I was not equipped to write. I love watching you two in action. It's really nice. It's fun.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I'll pass this along to Tara. I don't know if she listens this deep into the podcast usually.
But if she listens, you know, at all, right? My wife.
Right. Yeah. I hope she does. Every once in a while, she'll say, I actually listened to that episode all the way through. I'm like, okay, great. I'll be sure to pass that along to the guest. I'm sure it's a testament to them. She's amazing. She is. I always tell her, I'm like, you're world class at creating community wherever you go, whether in, you know, having people over to the house and throwing dinner parties or regular parties. And I'm usually, you know, here and I are just playing pickup basketball. Like, I know my role, she knows her role, and we just love being around people and hosting and entertaining. So it's been a joy to do it with you and your crew from Mattress World Northwest as we've navigated this M3 journey together. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for being part of it. And I'm excited for the next phase. I'll be sure and kind of announce what's going on the podcast once we put some definition to that this next week. Sean, thank you so much for being on the podcast. If you're listening along, be sure to subscribe, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you can always watch the episodes over on thefam.com. And if you're interested in learning more about the Mattress Mentorship Mastermind or Dream Camp or Sleep Summit that's coming up October 8th through the 11th, 2024, be sure to get on our email list, easy to do at thefam.com, or you can always sign up for our text messages. We send out podium texts with all this good information. Thanks again, Sean, for being on the show. And thank you for being a part of the fam.